guys, welcome to the Kickback FC. Thank you for joining us once again. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share.
Welcome back to the Kickback FC, your go-to spot for unfiltered real talk, all things soccer. Breaking down the biggest moments, hottest takes, and everything you need to know to stay plugged into the world's game. Whether this is your first time with us or you've been rocking with us from the jump, again, I just want to say thank you to all of our friends and supporters. Again, my name is Cornelius. I'm one of your co-hosts. I'm joined by my boys and fellow co-hosts as well. Salam, how are you doing tonight?
Pretty good, man. It's been a good weekend. Can't complain. Gabriel, how about you?
Hey, man. Top of the table. No complaints over here. No complaints. Cornelius, how you feeling?
Good, man. Right before we started recording, I said, you know, this is one of those weeks where we all got 3 points. So these are some of my favorite weeks because we don't really have to talk about the bad. We can, you know, focus more so on the good. So, yeah, just a good week. Sports are in full swing. I wanted to start off with the MLS because that season's actually winding down. The playoffs start here in just a few weeks now that we are in October. So I do want to touch on Cincinnati. Since Mike isn't here, we can, you know, touch on the crew a little bit later. But Cincinnati, a big win. I feel like this was big for you guys just heading into playoffs. You want to keep momentum. Salam, I know you're able to watch the game. You know, we just found out that the supporter shield has been locked up. So unfortunately, that is no longer on the table for you guys. But as you head into playoff season, how do you feel about this squad?
I feel good, man. It was good to get the dub over New York, a really good New York team away from home. Shout out to Kevin Denke, probably goal of the match week, in my opinion. It was a banger from outside the box. It was definitely a good hit. But, yeah, and I mean, I said this last week, but I think the biggest thing for us right now is that, you know, we're getting a lot of people that have been out with injury back into the team. Kubo is back now. Obina was actually in training this past week as well, too. So he's going to be a big part of our midfield. And, you know, we've been able to give Brian Oninga some rest as well, too. So that's going to be huge going into this postseason. And to be honest with you, I like what Pat Noonan has done in terms of the rotation. And I'd love to see that the level hasn't dropped off. And I think that that's big going into a postseason where, especially from the coach, you know, you can look at the team and say, hey, you know, if this person here isn't here, we have this person to step up, whatever the case may be. And I think in previous years, what hurt us was the lack of experience. But I think, at least from what I've seen this latter half of the MLS season, I really like the condition of the team. Right now, I think the only person that is out aside from Obina is Matt Miazga. And I mean, to be honest with you, this may be a controversial take or not, but I think our best center back is Miles Robinson. And I don't think that he's that big of a miss, in my opinion. But, you know, he's a guy that has experience. And I really like seeing Pavel Buka back there. And I mean, Hadibe has done well for us as well, too. So don't get me wrong. Hopefully he can come back and, you know, he can, you know, provide for us that experience. But I think we're going into the postseason with some good vibes, definitely.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, I always say it's the perfect time for, if you're a team, if you're catching steam now, I feel like it's the perfect time because, you know, you want to be trending up going into the playoffs. You don't want to be trending down, especially you guys, you know, are trending up, but also getting true guys that you need back within the and back into the mix. You know, that's like the perfect combination, especially going into playoffs. And I feel like, you know, things would just start to gel for you guys. So yeah, man, Cincinnati, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see with y'all. I mean, I think, you know, another team that's trending upwards is Nashville too. And they, you know, they just won the Open Cup against Austin FC. So yeah, I mean, with two teams trending up, both in the East, I think you guys may see each other at some point and it'll be a very fun match to watch.
Yeah, Nashville, I mean, we said it a few weeks ago. I mean, like the top 6-8 teams, honestly, are all good matchups from Chicago had a pretty disappointing match, I would say, at home this past week, but Chicago's good, Nashville's good, and the Crew obviously are there. Inter Miami is there. And then obviously the best team in the East, the team that's on the shield. So
that's what
go ahead.
I was gonna say,
do you think if Vancouver doesn't get to like the semis or the finals, do you think it's like a failure considering how like how stacked the East is and the West is kind of on the latter end of it?
You're saying for Vancouver?
Yeah, like for Vancouver, for who's the other team in the West that's good? I can't think about
it. San Diego.
Yeah, San Diego, like those teams, right? Do you think if they don't get to the semis or the finals that it's kind of a failure of a season for them? Just because, I mean, bro, the East is stacked. Like, you really don't know who's going to see who in that matchup. You could have two teams that could potentially be in the finals, you know, early on in the playoffs. So I just want to ask you guys, you know, do you think that on the West, on the other side, you know, if like Vancouver, San Diego, some of these guys don't make it too deep into the playoffs, do you think it's a bit of a failure of a season for them?
For San Diego, I feel like they have that, you know, this is our first season in their back pocket. So ultimately it's like this season, you can't really consider it a failure, in my opinion, just because, I mean, this is their first year in the league. So I think expectations are obviously high, but all things considering, I think for them in Vancouver, yeah, it would be disappointing because you guys have clearly shown that you guys are head and shoulders the two best teams in the West, even though Minnesota's 2 points behind Vancouver. I don't know, with Tani Aluwaseyi leaving, I just don't see how they're going to sustain that level of production in terms of scoring in the playoffs. Especially in these tough environments. So Vancouver more so than San Diego, because San Diego, this is their first season. But Vancouver, I feel like, you know, you already started the season on such a high note, and then you invested, you brought in a veteran like Thomas Muller. So obviously you're putting all your chips in the, you know, forward and saying, you know, we're going to go for it. So I feel like it would be a bigger disappointment for Vancouver than San Diego.
Fair. That's fair.
So this is kind of what I was going to ask Salam in the front, but you know, on the Western Conference, you really only have to see the Western sides until you get to the playoffs. So for me, I think Vancouver and San Diego what Salam said, you know, San Diego is kind of already ahead of schedule. So they're not really looking at this as if we don't make it to the finals or the semifinals of our conference, then it's a failure. You know, they probably exceeded what they thought they were going to do in the beginning of the summer. But, you know, when you look around LA Galaxy, nowhere to be found, but LAFC, man, 4 wins out of their last 5 matches. And the only loss is to San Diego. So there is some blood there. You know, there's actually some fight in those California teams. So I think LAFC has something, especially with Sun coming here and kind of just hit the ground running. I feel like they're a team that no one's really been talking about, but you kind of have to once the playoffs start, because I think they're going to make some noise. And then Minnesota, Salam, I agree, but they're a solid team, even without Tani. I feel like they still find ways to win games. Like they just won this past weekend, clean sheet, 3-0, goals from, you know, 2 goals from their defender. Their left back. So it's like they're a team that can score, you know, multiple different ways, whether it's off set pieces, whether it's open play. So I think Vancouver is definitely the best team in the West. But when you look at Minnesota, when you look at San Diego, even when you look at LAFC, I think all three of those teams have something to say.
I agree with that.
Yeah. But yeah, MLS is going to be very interesting to watch. And, you know, playoffs, like I said, just coming up here in a few weeks. I wanted to end on this with the MLS. Salam, as far as the Eastern Conference, who do you think are the toughest teams? Right now, you guys are in second place, so you are at the top end of the table. And when the bracket starts off, you know, you'll be up there as well. But when you look maybe into the first or second rounds, who you're not so keen to play, I would say?
I mean, I think the obvious answer is probably Philadelphia, just because they've shown that they've been the best team in the conference from start to finish, or at least from start to where we are right now. So, yeah, especially playing them away from home, I think would be difficult. So, obviously, I wouldn't want to get matched up with them. But, I mean, they're already in the number one spot, so I think that they're chilling the first round anyway. I don't know. I feel like a one from kind of left field would probably be – I also just, like, I wouldn't want to go into Charlotte. I feel like Charlotte is a place to play as well, too. And we struggled there earlier this season, and I think I mean, yeah, we struggled pretty bad there. But I feel like that's like a very underrated place to play. And it's a tough environment. And that's a team, man. That's another team that's kind of playing with house money right now. And, I mean, they're kind of going into this like with nothing to lose. And with Zaha there, I feel like that's another matchup, you know, along with Miami as well, too. I mean, I just, yeah. With Miami, a lot of money involved, you know. You see, I got the jersey on, man. I'm supporting my it's my second team, but yeah, man, definitely. I would say, yeah, Philly, Charlotte, Miami.
Yeah, I forgot to the team I was thinking about. I forgot to add Charlotte in there. That's the sleeper from the West that I'm like, man, this is a team you don't want to see for real.
Like, Charlotte's in the East.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they're on the East. Okay. Never mind.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought they put them in the West. I was like, okay. Never mind.
But yeah, just another team that is just in the mix.
Nah. Yeah. That's a team I feel like we're kind of quiet about, but they slowly creep their way all the way up to fourth place in the East there. So, you know, while some teams were kind of sleeping, the Charlotte team jumped up a few spots, or even over Nashville now. So that's a good shout, Salon. But yeah, a lot more MLS coming your way. Like I said, playoffs are literally right around the corner. It's going to be a fun playoff series. I think there are going to be a lot of good matchups, especially in that first round. A lot of teams that, you know, may be lower on that table right now, but definitely still have something to say. You know, when we look at Columbus, I know we didn't talk about them currently sitting in the last playoff spot right now, but it's still Columbus, bro. You can't really count them all the way out. So yeah, good stuff happening in the U.S. I want to switch it over to Europe for a little bit, get into our Champions League recaps. Had a lot of good matches in our 2 days of Champions League this past week. So I'll just go down the list of the games. We'll talk about some of the bigger ones and then just highlight some of the scores here. So Atalanta versus Club Brugge 2-1. Good win for Atalanta. I think most of us had Club Brugge. Gabriel, did you pick Atalanta last week?
No, I had Club Brugge, but okay. Atalanta with a good win. They needed that one. They needed a win.
Yeah, at home, get your first 3 points of the Champions League campaign. Madrid ran over Cariat Almaty. That was a 5-0 match. Same thing with Atletico Madrid at home. They ran over Frankfurt. That was a 5-1 match. Tottenham versus Bodo Glimt. Want to stop here for a sec. 2-2. A very, very interesting game. Bodo Glimt went up very early in the second half, scoring in the 53rd minute, and they got another in the 66th minute. But then in injury time, just about, there was an own goal from Tottenham after a Van der Ven 68th minute goal. Gabriel called this one. Did you see something in Bodo Glimt, or was it just Spurs not being ready for the moment?
I mean, one, I think it's Spurs. Two, Bodo Glimt's no slouch. And Champions League nights are tough, man. Like, when you're going to these other countries and playing, like, it's like, why do you think who did we play last year in Champions League? It wasn't Olympiacos. It was someone where we got caught slipping. I think it was somewhere in Spain, like 2-0. Or maybe it was Lens. I think it was Lens, or it was a French team. I forgot who we played last year in Champions League. We ended up getting caught slipping like 2-0. And it's just tough to go in these environments and play, especially when the other team isn't a slouch. And then on top of that, you know, the other team is up for it as well. You know, they get Champions League, and that's something that their fans may not see every year, or don't have the opportunity of seeing every year. So, you know, it was just one of those matches where I just felt like they could catch them slipping, and they really should have won. If you, I mean, we didn't watch the full match, we watched highlights. I mean, they had chance after chance after chance after chance after chance to really put the game away, and they never could. Mm-hmm. And if you, you know, sometimes it's how the cookie crumbles. But yeah, man, I just saw this team not. Then they were having kind of a tough week too, Spurs. I think they were coming off a draw or a loss or something. So to go away, Champions League, middle of the week, it's tough. So I saw it. They didn't get the win, but a result nonetheless.
Yeah, man. Next game was Chelsea 1-0 over Benfica. I said this was a trap game last week because I really felt it was. We've seen the better of Benfica in the Champions League over the last few years. We seem to always be matched up with them somehow. But it's good to see them earlier than later, because this was one of those tooth and nail matches. Like, it was very, very scrappy. And kind of like I was saying last week, man, some of these Chelsea wins we just have to dig out at 1-0. Like, again, another red card at the end of the match. This time it was Pedro or Joao Pedro. So we'll be missing him in our Champions League next few matches, which is, again, something that I didn't want to talk about. But here we are. Third match in a row where there's a red card. And, you know, we'll get to the weekend match a little bit later. But I was honestly ready to bet on Chelsea red card for the Liverpool match. And luckily it didn't happen. But it was good to get away with the win, because the red card happened at the very, very end of the match where, you know, if we would have conceded there, it just would have been – it would have been bad. But – strong 1-0 win, first win in Champions League since we lost week one to Bayern. We just needed points. Honestly, you needed points in this new Champions League format. It's better to get points early and then not worry about it in those 7 and 8 games than be kind of in that middle ground and having to fight for everything. So as long as we can get points early and often, I'm cool with it, man. So this was a huge win. It was our first game back home after a 4-game away stint as well. So it was good to come back to the bridge to kind of have that momentum leading into the Liverpool match, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But huge win for Chelsea, up the Blues, up the Chelsea. Galatasaray 1-0 over Liverpool. Got to talk about that one. An early, early pen, and Galatasaray was able to hold on. We've always talked about this, man. It's hard to go grab a win in Turkey. I mean, just the fans, they have a different type of fandom over there, bro. It's tough to go to any club in Turkey and find a win. But Galatasaray, they started to show the chinks in this Liverpool armor, man. Shout out Osimhen with his 16-minute penalty. I'm not sure if you guys were able to watch this or watch highlights, but Galatasaray.
Yeah, I mean, I told you. I just said, bro, these Champions League nights are hard, and Galatasaray is no slouch of a team. They definitely have some good players over there. And like I said, the 12th man, the crowd, the environment, they definitely can persuade a match one way or another. So, yeah, man, Liverpool got caught slipping twice this week. Love it. But I'm not worried about Liverpool, man. Liverpool will probably still be in that top 8, you know. It's a league at the end of the day. So, you know, they'll have their matches, and they'll be okay. I'm not too worried about them.
Yeah, I think with Liverpool, I'm not really surprised that they lost. And this is like no banter or anything, but I mean, relative. And I know that they've had the results the past few weeks. So, like me saying this is not, I'm not trying to make this sound reactionary, but this is still relatively a lot of new faces into this team. And the reason why is, and I say that to say, whether it be Champions League, whether it be the league itself, the domestic league, I think you're going to see growing pains. Obviously, in Europe, it's a different style of game. And I think that I just think for where they are right now, I think the how things are in England kind of suits them better than Europe. I honestly don't see them going very far in the Champions League this season. I know that they have the players that they have on paper, but you're going to see that learning curve happen somewhere, whether it be in the league and in Europe. And I think I'm not surprised. And I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, they get matched up with another team and you see a result like this as well, too. I mean, they beat Atletico, right, on the late header. So, but again, it's to Gabriel's point, like, how many of those are you going to get? How many more Newcastle moments are you going to get from the youngster? You know, it's just those moments are great. But at the end of the day, you know, and you got to give credit to Galatasaray as well, too. It's a good team.
Yeah. Yeah, they were able to hold after the 16th-minute penalty. So defending against any Liverpool team is tough to do. And to do it for, you know, 80-plus minutes is commendable for sure. Wrapping up some of our first games here on Tuesday for match week two, Inter 3-0 over Slavia Prague. Brace from Lautaro Martinez. That team just keeps on rolling. Marseille with a big 4-0 win over Ajax. It's good to see that team start to get some wins in Champions League as well. It's been a little bit since we've seen Marseille do bits in the league. And then Bayern 5-1 win over Paphos. So then day two, Wednesday, October 1st of our round two in the Champions League. Karabakh gets a strong 2-0 win over Copenhagen at home. Newcastle with a big 4-0 win over Union Saint-Gilloise. I believe that game, Anthony Gordon had two penalties. So shout out to him just opening up his Champions League campaign. Gabriel, 2-0 over Olympiacos. Seems like y'all been linked up with Olympiacos for the last few years as well. You guys have been seeing them in the Champions League. Your thoughts on that match?
Yeah, man. We're supposed to be doing this. We're supposed to be taking care of this team. You know, two goals to the good. I'm glad we were able to continue. We're scoring multiple goals a match. It seems like, you know, two or more goals a match, which is always great for me to see, because I want my team to continue scoring. And my biggest thing, honestly, is when we play these teams, I don't want them to really even sniff the goal. Raya had an amazing save. They really should have, after we got the first goal, I believe, or maybe right before it, they had a chance, and Raya had an amazing save. But it was, you know, it's just one of those matches where we had dominance. We had complete dominance, complete control over it, and it was really ours to lose if we would have messed it up. I feel like, you know, we did what we should have done. Jokeres should have scored, but Martinelli got the goal. Saka with a goal at the end. We move, man. I don't want to play the playoffs in the Champions League. I just want to be top eight. You know, and clean sheets will help us get there. So 2-0, we move. And I think we have a big one next. Our next Champions League match is a pretty big one. So we'll get there. We'll focus on that when we get there.
Good insight. Salam, I want to head to you for this next match, probably the match of the weekend, Barcelona versus PSG at the Camp Nou. Big 2-1 win from PSG. It's the repeat of our last year championship. We got to see some stars. We got to see some fireworks. I think we both had PSG when we predicted last week. I'm not sure if you're able to watch the match, but your thoughts on the PSG win?
Yeah, I mean, I had PSG going winning this game. I just think that they were, and they showed that who the better team was at the moment. And that's no shade to Barcelona, but I mean, this is a team that just won the Champions League, and the best player of the world in the world wasn't even there, which again speaks to, you know, the coach and the job that he's done, and the team in itself. Doué is not even there either. You know, two big parts of that team offensively, anyway. But I think Barcelona. I'll start with Barcelona. Barcelona, I feel like they're going to be up and down all year. You know, last year they had a phenomenal season, but I don't know, man. Defensively for me, they leak a lot of goals. So it's really going to be hard for them to kind of be, you know, over the course of a tournament to just, you know, keep the goals down, I believe. Obviously, we know that the talent that they have in Yamal, but defensively, man, you need a foundation there in order to advance in these tournaments and in a league, you know, over the course of the season. So I think that they'll be up and down all year. And I think they lost today as well, too. I mean, you know, tough week for them. But no, PSG, I mean, this is, you know, one of the best teams in Europe. Definitely, I would say number one as of right now. But until someone can come in and knock them off, like, till further notice, this is the best team. And they did it without their best player in the world. So, shout out to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and my bad, I said it was PSG versus Barcelona in the finals. It was PSG versus Inter. But yeah, Leverkusen 1-1 versus PSV. Draw at home, Dortmund with a big 4-1 win over Athletic Club or Athletic Bilbao. How do y'all feel about Dortmund, man? They seem to be low-key going very, very well right now. Guarce seems to be scoring almost every match. Carney Chukwuemeka, who is from Chelsea, has seemed to slot into a starting role over there, and he's been very, very effective for them. Clearly, they have a very high-powered offense. It's always a little bit shaky on their defense, but, you know, Sula is doing his thing. Sabitzer is seeming to step in and kind of contribute there as well. Adeyemi is doing his thing. Do we think this Dortmund team, one, can go far in the Champions League? And
no.
I was going to say, and why do you think that is?
Defensively, man, they're not there. And I just – I don't know, man. I've seen this Dortmund team – I mean, they went to the final the 1 year, which was, I mean, I think that was just an anomaly. That was just crazy. They were just on a crazy run in the Champions League. But I feel like football is in a place right now where luck comes few and far between. And I'm not saying this team is, like, super lucky, but I just don't feel like they have the depth, and I don't feel like they have the – I don't feel like their starting 11 can compete with – the powerhouses of the world. Like, their strongest 11 versus our strongest 11, Liverpool's strongest 11, Madrid, Barca, Inter. Did I say Liverpool? I mean, PSG, I don't know. I just don't see it. I see them being on par with Juventus, but I think, again, Juventus is getting smacked up by any of the teams I just named as well. You know, so I don't know. I don't really see them going that far in the Champions League this year. I'm not putting much stock into their team. I think they'll be exciting to watch. I think they're always an exciting team to watch, but I don't think they're going far.
Yeah, I'd say I'd agree, just because of there's just a lot of other teams right now that are, I think, currently better than them. I mean, they're currently sitting in seventh place. Obviously, the top eight teams are the ones that, you know, go into the next round. But, you know, the teams that are not in that eight include Tottenham, Atletico, Newcastle, Marseille, Barca, Liverpool, Chelsea, Napoli. So just even from those teams alone, you got to beat all those other teams out. And even if you do get to the next round, it's like knockout round, seeing even a team like Chelsea, it's like, that's tough. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Defensively, you know what I'm saying? There's issues there. So, but yeah, I mean, I think it's a great story. I think we'll see great, you know, exciting football from them, like we always see.
I agree. Next match was, I want to just touch on it for a second, because it was City versus Monaco. Monaco was at home. Haaland scored a brace in this match, and then 90th minute penalty from, who would have ever thought, Eric Dier to tie it up for Monaco? I actually watched a little bit of this match. Monaco does not look terrible. I was actually very, very surprised at how they looked. They move the ball around well defensively. They're not the worst. Bosalisu back there gives a lot of pace, a lot of strength, and he is able to run up the channels. Ansu Fati is one of their he plays like their 10. Monaco can make some noise. I don't know how far they'll go, but they were an exciting watch, especially playing City, who sometimes can play a little boring. They made this a fun match to watch. So I would say watch out for Monaco, and then hopefully when they get Pogba back, who knows?
I will say I called this during our Champions League predictions. I said this is a trap game. I think Monaco get a result, and they got a draw, so. So I'm going to put it out there.
Yeah, yeah. So last two to wrap up Champions League. Napoli got a 2-1 win over Sporting KC or Sporting CP. It's a little MLS Freudian slip. Shout out to Erasmus. Got a brace. First two goals in Champions League for him. Manchester boy is making a madness over in Napoli. Just letting you know. De Bruyne, Erasmus. We already know what McSauce up to, so.
McSauce, wow!
The Napoli boys
running amok
over in Napoli, man.
Ballon d'Or nominee.
They got that Naples tan and never wanted to go back to the rain. That's what I heard.
No, I mean I was happy for him though. I'm not gonna lie. And he took the goal very well. And he just, I don't know, man. When he celebrated, I was like, damn, bro. I don't even remember. I don't remember the last time that you've looked like that. But, man, yeah, I think it's just I think you're going to continue seeing that from a lot of these guys. I just didn't think that – people forget. He was a player that had potential. We just hadn't seen a lot from him. I think he just came to a bad situation. And I think United have shown that, like, bro, a lot of players have come here and for whatever reason haven't worked out, whether it be recently or whatever, the past decade. But no, I'm happy for him, man. I hope he stays there. I think a guy like Kevin De Bruyne could definitely, you know, change a lot of people's perception on him as a player, mm-hmm. which is good for him. You know, Kevin needs someone who's just going to kind of run in behind. And it's funny because he kept saying to him that I need him to, like, you know, run beyond instead of, like, coming towards me. And it's funny, for United, he always had to drop back because he wasn't getting the ball. It's just so funny, man. You know, if you're a striker and you ain't Gabriel, you know, if you ain't touched the ball in a while, where are you gonna go?
Oh yeah, bro, I'm gonna drop back where Saliba and Gabriel be at to go get the ball, just to get a touch and pass it right back to him and run up the field, you know.
Just so you can touch it. Just one time. I feel him. But no, man, shout out to Rasmus Højlund. Definitely, you know. Serie A this year.
Interesting.
And I didn't know this, but I guess Lukaku's been out for a while. I think he actually just recently lost his dad. So rest in peace to him.
Oh, wow.
Lost to him. Yeah, I saw a post about that, but. Rasmus easily could hit, like, double digits in the Serie A.
Easily.
Like, I think he could double digits is, I guess, 10, but, like, I think
he could. You're talking about
20. Yeah, I think he could definitely hit 15 to 20, no problem. I mean, like,
I think he might get 20, for real. That's just
All competitions, I mean, he's doing what De Bruyne excels at, you know, running the channels against two center backs. He's quick. He can, you know, he doesn't have the greatest touch, but if it comes to settling the ball and shooting the ball, we were able to see that he could do that in the Champions League. So shout out to him, man. I think we're actually see him where he excels, you know, in positions where he feels the most comfortable. And I feel like United wasn't really able to give him the service. You guys just played a little bit of a different game, but yeah, man, shout out to Rasmus for his brace this week. And then last Champions League match was Villarreal 2-2 against Juventus. Both of those teams will be, you know, teams to watch out for, but I don't know how much noise they'll make, kind of piggybacking on what Gabriel said about this Juve team. They're strong, but not strong enough to go deep into this competition. But yeah, through 2 weeks of Champions League, we've seen a lot of good scores, a lot of big scores, and a lot of good matches. So I really do like this new format. I ain't gonna lie. I feel like when it was first explained, a lot of people were a little hesitant, but I always thought it would be nice just because we'd see matchups that we don't usually see because we're not just playing home and away. You're playing seven different teams now. So sometimes you get the benefit of the luck and sometimes you don't, you know. But heading into our teams, man, this was, like we said earlier, going to be a good week. Just want to keep short and sweet since we all did get wins today. I'm going to start off with Chelsea this week just because I did start off with Chelsea last week as well. And, you know, Mike isn't here this week, but we were both pretty frustrated, to say the least. You know, we kind of came into the week thinking that we would have something positive, and it really was not positive. But then when I look back on, you know, the last 7 days, we got 6 points in two matches. No one thought we were going to get this match against Liverpool. No one. Even, and I'll say, I'll be honest myself, I thought this was going to be a very, very tough match. You know, whenever we see Liverpool, there's always a winner or a loser. Very, very seldom time have we gotten a draw in the last 4 to 5 years against Liverpool. We've seen them in cup competitions. We've seen them in finals. We've seen them, you know, in the league. So for me, whenever we see Liverpool is a big matchup. I just want to tip my hat off to Caicedo for just a great match. I was coaching, so I wasn't able to watch the match live, but I did see a few moments live in between the coaching sessions that I had on Saturday. And, you know, I was able to watch the last 15 minutes of the match. And Estevao, wow, star boy. You know, I told Gabriel this yesterday. I was a little nervous. And I said this, I believe I said this on the podcast last week too. I was a little nervous when Cole Palmer went down because I knew that Estevao was going to have to play more minutes, more meaningful minutes, you know, more minutes like he was shown today. And to be honest, I was a little hesitant on the way that Maresca brought him in late, but I applaud Maresca for just handling this Estevao situation extremely well. We have a lot of injuries, you know, I don't want to have to go through the list, but we have over 7 major injuries right now of players out, and that means players have to step up. And yeah, we know about Estevao. We know he's the wonder kid from Brazil. He's 18 years old. There was a lot of buzz. There's a lot of hype. But you want to protect these players because sometimes there's just a lot. You know, we always talk about when's the right time to give them, you know, the keys to the car and when's a good time to put the training wheels on. And I feel like what Maresca has done through the first couple of months of this season has really, really protected Estevao. And you know, we were kind of all waiting for that goal. Like within the Chelsea camp, we've all been waiting for that goal because he's been close. He's had a few assists, but he hasn't had that moment yet. And to get your first goal against the team that was in first place, the league leaders, the current champions of the Premier League, and just the entire time he was on, from when he got subbed on to when he scored the goal, you knew something was going to happen on his side. And for him to just step up, just very, very calmly be able to control a match like that, bro, it's inspiring. It's really, really good because, you know, Cole Palmer has been out for the majority of the season. Obviously, he's not coming back until after the international break. But even then, with the groin injury, we don't know how long it's going to be until he's fully fit to come back. So this is what we said last week between me and Mike. We said we need players to step up. Look what happens when we don't get a red card. Look what happens when we don't get a red card. The 3 previous matches, we got red cards, 2 losses, and a win in Champions League. Luckily, that red card was at the very end, like I was talking about earlier. But with this game, this was a fully all 11 players on the pitch fighting for the badge. And this is what I was talking about at home, man. Last week, it was funny because before we started recording, I wanted to listen to what me and Mike talked about last week specifically because of the red card and how it ruined the match. And we both echoed the same thing. If we fully play like Chelsea with all 11 men protecting the badge, we can get that feeling. We can get that Stamford Bridge identity back. And I feel like for the first time in a long time, this was one of those matches that said, okay, these players are fighting for the badge. This wasn't our first 11. This wasn't our first 11. You know, we were playing a lot of guys who don't normally get time because of the injuries that we do have. And, you know, shout out to all 11 players. Gusto, shout out to him, having to play in the midfield. Reece James, shout out to him. Just a strong match overall. Gusto. Look, we have to play players out of position.
Was weak.
Like, yeah, I mean, but look, did he not get an assist?
I'm sorry, he passed ball to Caicedo.
Did he not get an assist? All I want to say is when we're down and we are playing players out of position or we don't have our starting 11 that we prefer and we're still able to come in against the best teams in the league and put in results and more than just results, be able to come and smash and grab at home. This shows me that we're ready to start protecting the bridge. And this shows me that when teams come into the bridge is no longer sweet. For the last 3-4 years, teams have been able to walk into Stamford Bridge and just there's no fear. There's no this, you know, Chelsea is going to get the win today. And today this showed me, or yesterday that showed me, that it's no longer sweet, bro. Like, I really have confidence that now this team can go fight. In the summer episode, when I said that I believe that this Chelsea team is top three, top four in the world, y'all laughed at me. And that was for good reason, because we really hadn't shown anything. But this match and Benfica showed me that if we can tighten up and actually figure out that these games are important, these are what we fight for, this Chelsea team, however young they may be, can go far. And this is what I wanted to see. You know, this is what I want to see from my team. Can we get results when we don't have our best player? Can we get results against some of the best team in the league? Can we go and do, can we go when we have two matches at home and go back to back? These are the things I want to see, because this is what's going to propel us to getting momentum and climbing up the table. We're still in sixth place, but it's week 7. So there's a lot of season left, and this shows me that we're ready to go fight for bigger things this season. I know that was a little bit long-winded, but I'm happy about this Chelsea win, man. Nobody thought we were going to get Liverpool. Nobody did. Even I was a little nervous heading into this match, but shout out to Estevao, shout out to Caicedo, two beautiful goals, well-worked goals. The team looked very, very good, especially in the second half. We had a lot of chances. We could have won 3 or 4-1, but, you know, that's the way the cookie crumbles, and 3 points is 3 points. We move. That's really all I have to say. I'm not sure if you guys have anything to say about Liverpool or Chelsea, but we just got to keep going. That's it.
I feel like, I don't know, slowly but surely, Liverpool is – I feel like people are just figuring Liverpool out. I feel like that first year, you know, Arnie, you know, they had a vibe. He walked in cool, and you just kind of couldn't figure them out. But I feel like people are figuring this Liverpool team out a little bit. Even and obviously, once their new signings adjust, it'll be another series of trying to figure out what they're going to do. Because I do believe that Liverpool will start running sets with Ekitike and Isak both playing up top. I think there'll be a lot of different variations of this. Of this squad. But yeah, no, I just think for the time being, at least right now, teams are figuring Liverpool out. And I don't know. I mean, they've lost what, three matches in the last five almost? Something like that. And
two in a row.
Yeah, two in a row. I mean, listen, I'm not gonna say they're out of form, but they come back from the international break, they have United at home, but they still have United, you know. So, and United just came off of a dub. So, you know, I don't know. This Liverpool team, I think there are chinks in their armor. I think that, you know, they're not, I don't think they exactly who, I think on paper their team got better, yes. Obviously, it got better. Like, I mean, they signed three really, 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 really good players, but I think it'll take some time to figure that out. And on the other hand, I mean, Chelsea did look good. I will say that they fought on their end, and, you know, Reece James in the midfield, just cut it out. He never needs to be there again. Gusto in the midfield, he doesn't need to be there either. I'm not going to say Reece James isn't good enough, but it's not what your team needs. He doesn't need to be there for your team. Yeah, I can agree with you and even Mike on those. But honestly, I mean, good job. Thank you for doing a service for us. We appreciate it, because we need all the points taken off of a pool that we can get. So appreciate y'all.
Yeah, man. Again, with Lavia coming in at the very end, it's good to see him getting some run of a cameo. But again, we don't have all of our players back, so we have to put Gusto in the midfield, or we have to put Reece in the midfield. And if I had to choose one of the two, I would rather have Gusto there and Reece playing right back. So for me, it's let's just carry on till we have our players back. But it was good to see him put in a shift, man. He has to learn the position. He's a natural right back. But last week I was shouting out Sunderland, man. Sunderland has been doing the thing. They had looked very, very good, but United, who has been in very, very terrible form as of late, seemed to find some solace at home, you know. 2-0, two big goals. I think you needed both of those goals for both of those players. Salam, how do you feel about this past weekend's win?
I mean, I think it was a great win. To your point, I think obviously we got the 3 points, but the two people who scored, I think that this is a big confidence booster for them. Obviously, you know, ever since Mason Mount has been a United player, health has been an issue. But, you know, what I will say is every time he's came back, he's, you know, he's delivered, whether that be a goal, whether that be his effort. Every manager that we've had seems to like him. So, obviously, you know, he's doing something right. But I was happy to see him get his goal. Hopefully he can stay healthy. Obviously, our big money striker and Benjamin Sesko got his second goal, which is what, 2-2 now for him. So, you know, hopefully this can give him, you know, some confidence going into the international break. And, you know, when we come back, we have a tough game against Liverpool right off the bat. So, but for me, I mean, I would say before I get to United, I would say this Sunderland team, I feel like I've had a really good start to the season. I've watched them and I can confidently say, not to take anything away from United, but I felt like it was not their day, Saturday. You know, I can humbly say that, like, this was not the same team that I've watched the first 5 or 6 match days of the season. Obviously, I said it in our predictions last week. I think when we're at Old Trafford, we're always up for those games. So, you know, we'll have a little bit kind of going for us. But I think we took advantage of what was a team who was still a weaker team, but a team that wasn't just on their day. And for me, the biggest talking point is Lemens, the keeper. I mean, I think he, in the little bit he was asked to do, I think he delivered. He can catch the ball, which is a big component in goalkeeping. So I think that that's, you know, huge for us. And I don't know, there was a sense of calmness that I kind of felt with him. He did have to come up and make a few saves, and he delivered in those moments. But no, I think it was a good performance from him, especially, you know, this is a game at home. The manager has a lot of pressure on him. So, you know, for you to come in and for us to get a shutout, this is our first shutout. So, you know, it's massive for us. So hopefully he can continue and, you know, he can build off of this. But I can confidently say that, like, this is the guy that we need to kind of, you know, stick with and support, because Bayindir is not that.
No, that's fair. I feel like you guys look good this match. You actually, there's some camaraderie behind this one. It looked cohesive. It looked like team football for the first time in, I feel like, a long time. Ahmad, that kid is very, very good, man. I don't see why he isn't starting every match. Ahmad is just, he continues to just shine. And I think with Mbeumo there too, I think, you know, he kind of has an older mentor in a sense to be able to walk him through his role as well. I think, yeah, man, you guys have something good on paper. I just don't know if this manager is the one to put it all together, but I'm happy for Sesko. I'm happy for Sesko getting his second goal. That's good. That's good for him and his confidence. I agree. So,
yeah, man, I told you about Mount, bro. I told you about Mount. As long as he's healthy, he is technically there, right foot, left foot. I mean, me and Gabriel were watching the highlights, and I mean, if you look at the goal, first and foremost, the ball from Mbeumo in was a great ball. But for him to trap it on his left out of the air, and then his next touch is a shot directly with his right. I mean, as a player, technically, just your first touch and your second touch being able to trap the ball and hit in the box is what you teach any striker, you know. And I think that's what Mount is great at. He's not a 9 out of 10 in pace or a 9 out of 10 in dribbling or a 9 out of 10 in IQ, but he's really a 7.5 to 8 almost in every, you know, category as a footballer. And so when he's healthy, he has the pace to match up with most midfielders. He has the tenacity to play box to box. He has the technical ability to hit a 40-yard pass or trap a 40-yard pass. And so I think it's, if he can stay healthy, he's going to be big for y'all. And I think, you know, when before the game started, I said I'd rather have him play next to Casemiro just so you can give Casemiro that little bit of security with, you know, his athleticism. But it looks like Mount closer to goal is where you need him to be, and Bruno's able to kind of just float in the middle. So I don't know how you feel about that, if this is your lineup that you'd like to see more often, but you guys seem to do well. I know it's just Sunderland, but y'all seem to look cohesive, like Gabriel said.
Yeah, I just think, again, against better teams, you know, we're going to get eaten up in the midfield. To your point, I don't like my midfield just kind of floating, especially if you're if you're playing in a double pivot and one of them is just floating and the other one is like 38, I don't think that's a recipe for success. So, no, me personally, again, and it's not like the formation, because I think like if you instruct the players on how to, you know, cover for each other and each other's weaknesses, like any – we've seen this formation work. Conte played for this formation. Like it's worked in the Premier League. So it's not that. It's just the way you coach, and I just don't think that the manager does that. He doesn't put us in the best positions to win all the time. And I'm not going to get carried away about the Sunderland win. You know, we'll see Liverpool, what that looks
like. I said this to Curtis when we were watching. I said United is doing what they're supposed to do, which honestly, it looked refreshing for the first time, because for so long now you have done the complete opposite of what you're supposed to be doing. So to see you know, I mean, like us today, like I just felt with Arsenal, it was just a clean 2-0 win, nothing too crazy, dominate the game and we move. And I feel like, you know, similar with you, I mean, they had like a goal called back or something like that. A guy was offsides. But for the most part, bro, you guys dominated the game. You got your two goals from two people that, you know, needed to score at that moment, and you know, you move. So I'm happy to see you at least taking care of business against teams that you should be taking care of business of.
Yeah, I mean, we could use that to segue right into Arsenal. 2-0 win against West Ham at home. Saka and Rice getting the goals, kind of doing what you're supposed to do. Arsenal now sit on top of the Premier League table at 5 wins, 1 draw, 1 loss. Goal differential of plus 11. I mean, everything looks solid right now.
Yeah, I mean, everything looks great. Just we can't stay healthy, man. Odegaard again down 30 minutes in. It's a knee injury this time. So who knows how long he's going to be out. So obviously that's unfortunate because he's our captain. And honestly, you know, since he's been injured, but even with the past couple of matches that he's been playing, even though he hasn't been playing 90 minutes or a lot of minutes because he's been injured with the shoulder, him coming on and playing in these deeper roles has looked great. Like he looks very, very good exactly where he is, kind of playing an 8 role and not just being our sole 10. Obviously, you know, he still gets in those positions and can drive at the back line, but and he did that as well. But no, he's been looking good. So it sucks to, you know, have him out for who knows how long with this knee injury. But yeah, no, man, 2-0 win. Declan Rice scored, no celebration. Respect it. This is what we're supposed to be doing against a team that's really has had a rough start to the Premier League. Like I said, I really don't want to drop points to any team below the top 8 at home or at all in general. And the fact that, you know, we're able to get 2 goals, Saka came in and got his goal as well. And, you know, the biggest thing for me is the clean sheet. Like Cornelia said, plus 11 goal differential. I can't really ask for much more. We're 1 point above Liverpool, but that's what, even if we're tied with Liverpool in points, we would win the league, or not win the league, but we'd be first because we have the goal differential. And that's the biggest thing for me. Through seven matches, we conceded three goals. One is honestly a great counterattack by Man City with a Haaland goal. One is a crazy free kick from Szoboszlai that, I mean, not many or anyone's going to save, really. And the other goal, I don't even remember what it was. I think it was something. Or it was against Newcastle away from home. And Newcastle is we haven't won there in like 2 years almost. So we got a result and we got a win there. So, you know, the three goals that we've conceded, fair. I can live with that. I'm just happy that we kept a clean sheet. Obviously, we didn't come out completely healthy, but everyone's, for the most part, is healthy. And this is why we have, you know, guys in the squad. I mean, Odegaard's might be out for a bit, but we have next man up who can take his place and perform for us in the meantime. So, you know, I'm very happy about where we're at. I just think that we need to continue the form. And last thing I'll say is, last year when Liverpool dropped points and Chelsea would drop points and City would drop points, not saying they did that this week, but last year on those weeks, Arsenal always seemed to always drop points too. And I'm happy that this is a week that Liverpool dropped points. I know it's still early, but at least we're able to capitalize on that. And that should be the mentality from here on out. Anyone who's above us, when they drop points, we get points. It's just as simple as that. So, you know, I'm happy about where we're at. And just looking forward to hopefully everybody staying healthy through the international break.
Oh, yeah, that's a good place to end it. You know, speaking of goal differential, like I said, Arsenal has plus 11, Liverpool in second place right now at plus 4, Tottenham in third place at plus 8, Bournemouth in fourth place at plus 3, Manchester City just hopped up to fifth place with their win at plus 9, Crystal Palace in sixth place at plus 4. So goal differential, I mean, for the last few seasons, it's always mattered. But Arsenal right now with a huge lead, but City right there with 9. And we know that City at any point could go on a 10-match unbeaten. So it's good to start racking up these goals early so you can have that little bit of extra, you know, surface room when you're looking to push for the title race. Yeah, how we doing on locks today or this past weekend?
Yeah, not a great week, boys. 1-3. Mike had the lock that got through. Great bet, honestly. Bournemouth over 2.5 goals on target.
Hey, mine didn't hit?
I don't believe so, no, bro.
Man City money
line? Oh, sorry. Man City money line. Sorry, 2-2. Ooh, you are right. I'm sorry. Whoa. 2-2. So, actually, not a bad week. Not a bad week.
Yeah, my first loss.
I keep forgetting City won this clean sheet. So, yeah, no, not a bad week. 2-2. After, I mean, over the past 3 weeks, what? We're 10-2 over the past 3 weeks. And, you know, hey, we'll live with that, you know. We'll live with that. So, good job, boys.
All right. Shout-outs. Anybody got any shout-outs?
Yeah, I'll go first. I think this was actually your shout-out a few weeks ago, Cornelius, but I'm going to follow up here with Jack Grealish. Scored the winner today. Versus Crystal Palace, a flying Crystal Palace, a really good in-form Crystal Palace team. Man, stoppage time winner, and it was at home that the place was jumping. So, you know,
that's crazy.
Great moment for him. I mean, you can kind of see, like, the relief and kind of the, what do you call it, the joy. The joy is back. So, yeah, bro, shout out to him. He's one guy I would love to see somehow back in the England rotation. I think he still has a lot to offer. He's a versatile player. He's a player with experience. He's won everything you could win as a club player. So yeah, I don't think a guy like on that team, he only helps you. So hopefully he can keep this up and, you know, make that World Cup squad.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's a great shout. It's definitely a great shout. I think he will, low-key. It's gonna be hard to ignore what he's doing with Everton. I mean, Everton's top half of the table right now, I believe, right?
Yeah, they're sixth place.
Yeah, so.
Or eighth place.
So, yeah, no, that's he's doing amazing over there. Him and Jai are doing great. So, Yeah, no, it's great. It's great. My shout out actually goes to Antoine Semenyo this week. Another brace. 3-1 win against an informed Fulham team, if I'm being completely honest. Fulham's been kind of flying these past couple weeks and to start the season. So Antoine Semenyo really leading his team. Kind of surprised he didn't get a move this past summer. I feel like as if maybe teams didn't want to pay the price because they didn't know if he would continue in this form. But 7 matches in, I mean, he's clearly the best player, and he looks great. He's been looking great. So shout out to Antoine Semenyo, man. Been killing it.
That's crazy because y'all talked – 2 of my my shout outs. I was gonna say both of those, but I said it a little bit earlier today, man. Shout out Rasmus Højlund, you know, 3 goals this past week, 2 in the Champions League to get his first European goals, and then a game winner against Genoa in Serie A this past weekend. He's just been flying over there, and I just want to give him a shout out. You know, this Napoli team, like I said, they look good again. They look like they want to go back to back. So just keeping some tabs on the Serie A league. And then I know we talk about some other sports from time to time. So I want to shout out my big boy, Ja'Marr Chase, on delivering. So my fantasy team could beat Salam's. I'm saying that on wax. Yes, my fantasy team is beating yours this week, Salam. Josh Allen is not saving you.
Yes, he is. I need Josh Allen to go off today.
He ain't saving you, bro. Hey. But enough about American football. Yeah, you're muted because, you know, the God didn't want you to get that off.
You've done it once before. Take it home.
I ain't gonna do it again. Man.
Who do y'all see? Oh, international break. Dang. Totally forgot. No games.
Sad times, y'all. I do like watching, team or players play for their country. I do enjoy it. But as a true club football fan, this is just, oh man, I hate when club football is not being played. It's not fun. Especially when you're in the swing of things. Like, it's like we've gotten a taste of football, then it goes away for 2 weeks. And you get like a good run of it, then it goes away for another 2 weeks. But after we get back, winter will come and it's going to be so much football.
That just reminded me. I saw some somewhere, and we can end on this because I know we got to get out of here, but I saw somewhere that the Champions League were thinking about tweaking the schedule to where there'd be like a 2 or 3 week Champions League international break in the middle of the season where teams that weren't in Champions League could do whatever they wanted, but those Champions League teams would play like 4 or 5 games over the span of 2 to 3 weeks, so you can kind of get them out of the way and then just have your regular season, kind of like a international break sort of thing. How do y'all feel about that?
No, I kind of like the fact of, you know, just kind of playing how your form is at that point. You know what I'm saying? If you had a tough Champions League matchup on Tuesday, maybe we can get right on Saturday before that next Tuesday game. So, like, yeah, I think, you know, the how things are from week to week, I think that matters and that plays a role. And, you know, momentum, availability, I mean, that's really what it is. But when you think about these tournaments, sometimes it's not even about who the best team is on paper. It's just about which 11 is playing at that point and who's hurt, who doesn't, who's suspended, who's not. So, no, yeah, I like how it is right now.
Yeah, I agree with that. And also, I mean, I can see kind of the joy in that, but what if someone's injured for 3 weeks and that just happens to be the Champions League 3 weeks? Like, that means you miss 5 Champions League matches. Like, I'm not a huge fan of that. At least, you know, if someone's injured, you know, they have a month to get right potentially before the next Champions League matches roll around. And, you know, that maybe they missed the first one, but they can play the second match. So I don't know. I know it's a tournament, but I don't like the fact that maybe potentially 4 to 5 tournament games will be played in those 2 weeks. And yeah, I don't like that. I'm not a fan of it either. I'm trying to see like the positives in it, but I really don't see too many. A team in form can just be first in Champions League. Like, what if I don't know. What if Crystal Palace or someone just start? What if Bode Glimt just is flying, and they have five Champions League games in 4 days, or four Champions League games in 2 weeks, and they win all four, and now they're top of the table, going to make the top eight. Like, I don't know. I'm not. It's fried. Like, no. I don't know. I'm not a fan of it. I think they should keep it how it is. I think they've already made so many changes to the Champions League just within the past couple of years. Like, let us live with these changes first before you start messing with the whole world football schedule, because then you're messing with the whole world football schedule at that point. So,
yeah, I agree. I think they're looking at ways to try to limit the amount of games we play later in the season, but I'm with y'all. I don't know if having a new international break necessarily would help, because you're still playing the same amount of games and even in quicker succession. So I don't know. Just wanted to bring that up. You reminded me of it when you kind of talked about the schedule and international break and all that. But good episode, boys.
Yeah, good episode, guys. Shout out to you, Mike, wherever you are. I know you're listening somewhere. It's a shame you couldn't be here. I was really looking forward to hearing Mike's Estevao.
Estevao. He said, your mom were coming for you.
Yeah. No, but like you said, Cornelius, like that was a big moment, especially for him to get that at Stamford Bridge. So shout out to him. But appreciate everybody's continued support. And thank you for kicking it with us on the kickback.